Chapter 89. Miss Lillerton, apostrophe, said Gabriel, may I have the pleasure? Apostrophe, I shall be most happy. Apostrophe, Toddle, will you assist Miss Lillerton, and pass the decanter? Thank you. Apostrophe, the usual pantomimic ceremony of nodding and sipping gone through. Toddle, were you ever in Suffolk? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the master of the house, who was burning to tell one of his seven stock stories. No, apostrophe, responded Watkins, adding, by way of a saving clause, but I've been in Devonshire. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Gabriel, it was in Suffolk that a rather singular circumstance happened to me many years ago. Did you ever happen to hear me mention it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Watkins Toddle had happened to hear his friend mention it some 400 times. Of course he expressed great curiosity, and evinced the utmost impatience, to hear the story again. Mr. Gabriel Parsons forthwith attempted to proceed, in spite of the interruptions to which, as our readers must frequently have observed, the master of the house is often exposed in such cases. We will attempt to give them an idea of our meaning. When I was in Suffolk, apostrophe, said Mr. Gabriel Parsons. Take off the fowls first, Martha, apostrophe, said Mrs. Parsons. I beg your pardon, my dear. Apostrophe, when I was in Suffolk, apostrophe, resumed Mr. Parsons, with an impatient glance at his wife, who pretended not to observe it, which is now years ago, business led me to the town of Bury St. Edmunds. I had to stop at the principal places in my way, and therefore, for the sake of convenience, I traveled in a gig. I left Sudbury one dark night. It was winter time, about 9 o'clock. The rain poured in torrents, the wind howled among the trees that skirted the roadside, and I was obliged to proceed at a foot pace, for I could hardly see my hand before me, it was so dark. Apostrophe, John, apostrophe, interrupted Mrs. Parsons, in a low, hollow voice, don't spill that gravy. Apostrophe, Fanny, apostrophe, said Parsons impatiently, I wish you'd defer these domestic reproofs to some more suitable time. Really, my dear, these constant interruptions are very annoying. Apostrophe, my dear, I didn't interrupt you, apostrophe, said Mrs. Parsons. But, my dear, you did interrupt me, apostrophe, remonstrated Mr. Parsons. How very absurd you are, my love. I must give directions to the servants. I am quite sure that if I sat here and allowed John to spill the gravy over the new carpet, you'd be the first to find fault when you saw the stain tomorrow morning. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, continued Gabriel with a resigned air, as if he knew there was no getting over the point about the carpet. I was just saying, it was so dark that I could hardly see my hand before me. The road was very lonely, and I assure you, Toddle, this was a device to arrest the wandering attention of that individual, which was distracted by a confidential communication between Mrs. Parsons and Martha, accompanied by the delivery of a large bunch of keys. I assure you, Toddle, I became somehow impressed with a sense of the loneliness of my situation, apostrophe, pie to your master, apostrophe, interrupted Mrs. Parsons, again directing the servant. Now, pray, my dear, apostrophe, remonstrated Parsons once more, very pettishly. Mrs. P. turned up her hands and eyebrows, and appealed in dumb show to Miss Lillerton. As I turned a corner of the road, apostrophe, resumed Gabriel, the horse stopped short, and reared tremendously. I pulled up, jumped out, ran to his head, and found a man lying on his back in the middle of the road, with his eyes fixed on the sky. I thought he was dead, but no, he was alive, and there appeared to be nothing the matter with him. He jumped up, and putting his hand to his chest, and fixing upon me the most earnest gaze you can imagine, exclaimed, apostrophe, pudding here, apostrophe, said Mrs. Parsons. Oh, it's no use, apostrophe, exclaimed the host, now rendered desperate. Here, Toddle, a glass of wine. It's useless to attempt relating anything when Mrs. Parsons is present. apostrophe, this attack was received in the usual way. Mrs. Parsons talked to Miss Lillerton, and at her better half, expatiated on the impatience of men generally, hinted that her husband was peculiarly vicious in this respect, and wound up by insinuating that she must be one of the best tempers that ever existed, or she never could put up with it. Really, what she had to endure sometimes was more than anyone who saw her in everyday life could by possibility suppose. The story was now a painful subject, and therefore Mr. Parsons declined to enter into any details, and contented himself by stating that the man was a maniac who had escaped from a neighboring madhouse. The cloth was removed. The lady soon afterwards retired, and Miss Lillerton played the piano in the drawing room overhead, very loudly, for the edification of the visitor. Mr. Watkins Tottle and Mr. Gabriel Parsons sat chatting comfortably enough, until the conclusion of the second bottle, when the latter, in proposing an adjournment to the drawing room, informed Watkins that he had concerted a plan with his wife for leaving him and Miss Lillerton alone, soon after tea. "I say," apostrophe said Tottle, as they went upstairs, "don't you think it would be better if we put it off till tomorrow?" "Apostrophe, don't you think it would have been much better if I had left you in that wretched hole I found you in this morning?" "Apostrophe, retorted Parsons bluntly. Well, I only made a suggestion," apostrophe said poor Watkins Tottle, with a deep sigh. Tea was soon concluded, and Miss Lillerton, drawing a small work table on one side of the fire, and placing a little wooden frame upon it, something like a miniature clay mill without the horse, was soon busily engaged in making a watch guard with brown silk. "God bless me!" "Apostrophe, exclaimed Parsons, starting up with well-feigned surprise, "I've forgotten those confounded letters. Tottle, I know you'll excuse me." "Apostrophe, if Tottle had been a free agent, he would have allowed no one to leave the room on any pretense, except himself. As it was, however, he was obliged to look cheerful when Parsons quitted the apartment. He had scarcely left when Martha put her head into the room with, "Please, ma'am, you're wanted." Apostrophe, Mrs. Parsons left the room, shut the door carefully after her, and Mr. Watkins Tottle was left alone with Miss Lillerton. For the first 5 minutes there was a dead silence. Mr. Watkins Tottle was thinking how he should begin, and Miss Lillerton appeared to be thinking of nothing. The fire was burning low. Mr. Watkins Tottle stirred it, and put some coals on. "Hem!" Apostrophe, coughed Miss Lillerton. Mr. Watkins Tottle thought the fair creature had spoken. "I beg your pardon," apostrophe said he. "Eh?" Apostrophe, I thought you spoke. Apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, there are some books on the sofa, Mr. Tottle, if you would like to look at them," apostrophe said Miss Lillerton, after the lapse of another 5 minutes. "No, thank you," apostrophe returned Watkins. And then he added, with a courage which was perfectly astonishing, even to himself, "Madam, that is Miss Lillerton, I wish to speak to you." "Apostrophe, to me." Apostrophe, said Miss Lillerton, letting the silk drop from her hands, and sliding her chair back a few paces. "Speak to me." "Apostrophe, to you, madam, and on the subject of the state of your affections." Apostrophe, the lady hastily rose, and would have left the room, but Mr. Watkins Tottle gently detained her by the hand, and holding it as far from him as the joint length of their arms would permit, he thus proceeded. "Pray do not misunderstand me, or suppose that I am led to address you, after so short an acquaintance, by any feeling of my own merits, for merits I have none which could give me a claim to your hand. I hope you will acquit me of any presumption when I explain that I have been acquainted through Mrs. Parsons with the state, that is, that Mrs. Parsons has told me, at least, not Mrs. Parsons," but apostrophe here Watkins began to wander, but Miss Lillerton relieved him. Am I to understand, Mr. Tuttle, that Mrs. Parsons has acquainted you with my feeling my affection, I mean my respect, for an individual of the opposite sex? She has. Then, what? Inquired Miss Lillerton, averting her face, with a girlish air, what could induce you to seek such an interview as this? What can your object be? How can I promote your happiness, Mr. Tuttle? Here was the time for a flourish by allowing me, replied Watkins, falling bump on his knees, and breaking two brace buttons and a waistcoat string, in the act by allowing me to be your slave, your servant in short, by unreservedly making me the confidant of your heart's feelings, may I say, for the promotion of your own happiness, may I say, in order that you may become the wife of a kind and affectionate husband? Disinterested creature. Exclaimed Miss Lillerton, hiding her face in a white pocket handkerchief with an eyelet hole border. Mr. Watkins Tuttle thought that, if the lady knew all, she might possibly alter her opinion on this last point. He raised the tip of her middle finger ceremoniously to his lips, and got off his knees, as gracefully as he could. My information was correct? He tremulously inquired, when he was once more on his feet. It was. Watkins elevated his hands, and looked up to the ornament in the center of the ceiling, which had been made for a lamp, by way of expressing his rapture. Our situation, Mr. Tuttle, resumed the lady, glancing at him through one of the eyelet holes, is a most peculiar and delicate one. Said Mr. Tuttle. Our acquaintance has been of so short duration, said Miss Lillerton. Only a week, assented Watkins Tuttle. Oh, more than that, exclaimed the lady, in a tone of surprise. Indeed, said Tuttle. More than a month, more than 2 months, said Miss Lillerton. Rather odd, this, thought Watkins. Oh, he said, recollecting Parsons' assurance that she had known him from report, I understand. But, my dear madam, pray, consider. The longer this acquaintance has existed, the less reason is there for delay now. Why not at once fix a period for gratifying the hopes of your devoted admirer? It has been represented to me again and again, that this is the course I ought to pursue, replied Miss Lillerton, but pardon my feelings of delicacy, Mr. Tuttle, pray excuse this embarrassment, I have peculiar ideas on such subjects, and I am quite sure, that I never could summon up fortitude enough, to name the day to my future husband. Then allow me to name it, said Tuttle eagerly. I should like to fix it myself, replied Miss Lillerton, bashfully, but I cannot do so without at once resorting to a third party. Thought Watkins Tuttle, who the deuce is that to be, I wonder? Mr. Tuttle, continued Miss Lillerton, you have made me a most disinterested and kind offer, that offer I accept. Will you at once be the bearer of a note from me to Mr. Timpson? Mr. Timpson. Said Watkins. After what has passed between us, responded Miss Lillerton, still averting her head, you must understand whom I mean, Mr. Timpson, the clergyman. Mr. Timpson, the clergyman. Ejaculated Watkins Tuttle, in a state of inexpressible beatitude, and positive wonder at his own success. Angel. Certainly this moment. I'll prepare it immediately, said Miss Lillerton, making for the door. The events of this day have flurried me so much, Mr. Tuttle, that I shall not leave my room again this evening. I will send you the note by the servant. Cried Watkins Tuttle, still keeping a most respectful distance from the lady. When shall we meet again? Apostrophe apostrophe oh. Mr. Tuttle, apostrophe replied Miss Lillerton, coquettishly, when we are married, I can never see you too often, nor thank you too much, apostrophe and she left the room. Mr. Watkins Tuttle flung himself into an armchair, and indulged in the most delicious reveries of future bliss, in which the idea of £500 per annum, with an uncontrolled power of disposing of it by her last will and testament, apostrophe was somehow, or other the foremost. He had gone through the interview so well, and it had terminated so admirably, that he almost began to wish he had expressly stipulated for the settlement of the annual 500 on himself. May I come in? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Gabriel Parsons, peeping in at the door. You may, apostrophe replied Watkins. Well, have you done it? Apostrophe apostrophe anxiously inquired Gabriel. Have I done it? Apostrophe apostrophe said Watkins Tuttle. Hush, I'm going to the clergyman. Apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe said Parsons. How well you have managed it. Apostrophe, where does Timson live? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Watkins. At his uncle's, apostrophe replied Gabriel, just round the lane. He's waiting for a living, and has been assisting his uncle here for the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.